take a look, start with the Gemara. By the way, the Gemara Mekaymos, the Shabbos Shuvah, upstairs in my office already, so I didn't want to once and get off tomorrow. But they are here already. Look at this Gemara from one standpoint today, Rez Hashem, over a Yontif. We'll look at it from a different standpoint. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Omar Tezayin Amar Aleph, in Rosh Hashanah. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Matoikim Rosh Hashanah. Why are we Tokeya on Rosh Hashanah? That's a rather odd question. Moses says, Loma Toiken, what type of question is that? Rachman Omar Tikkun, the Torah says to block. Moses, cheers. That's enough reason, that's it. We don't need any other philosophical explanations. The ultimate philosophical explanation is the Rabbeinu Shalom told us to this. Everything else beyond that is speculative. So Moses said, Elo Loma Marian. What are we looking through? Someone says, Maria, what type of question is that? Rahman Amma Zichron Truah. So it says Truah in the Torah. So what's your question? Elo, the Gemara says that he really, his question was a different question. Loma Taikin Maria Kishin Yeshven, the Taikin Maria Kishin Omdim. Why do we have two sets of the keys? Set number one and set number two. Chayra, but all the chumras we can make up, even if we take all the most of those chumradika positions, that you can get to 30, and that's not even necessarily muskum that you need 30, as we're going to see. But that's the max you can get to is 30. And let's forget the 100. The last 40, okay, that came from other sources. That's, you know, doesn't come from the Shas, per se. But why do we have 30 and 30? Elamai, as we'll see, there's a reason we want to have 30 tekiyas together with the brochas. So good, so we can be yaitzid the mitzvah together with the brachas. The halacha is shama test kiyas b'tkesh shalis b'yom. 6 o'clock in the morning I heard a tekiya. 9 o'clock in the morning I heard a truah. 10 o'clock in the morning I heard another tekiya. I have one line. I was yaitzid. Every hour on the hour I'll hear one more coil is the right coil, and by the time the sun sets tonight I'll be yaitzid. I don't have to hear them all at one shot. And here, so feel so, we're better off in that regard. We blow whole lines, it's not individual kindness. So, if there's a reason that, as we'll see, that they want to have kiyas together with the brachas, so good, to do everything there. Why do we need two sets? Loma Toikin and Rosh Hashanah, which would seem to be the kiyas, the Miyusha means the ones with Chazoras Hashem. That would seem disadvice, because we have the brachas and the kiyas. If we take in a Marine Kashena, so what do we have to, what do we need? The second 30 would seem to have cover all the bases. We have the 30 Kailas Midaraisa, which together with the Brochas, which the Rabbana wanted, so that's it. So what do we need the first 30 for? The second 30 seemed to take care of all the whole thing. So the Gemara answers, Kadela Arve Vasotin, to confuse the Sultan. Now, as I said, I'll kind of come back to this Rosh Hashanah to explore the Rabbi Nachmanon and Rashi's pshat on Yom Tov. But the shaila is, how do you confuse the sultan? Every year you're going to use the same trick. I mean, he's a pretty wise guy, fellow in the first place. But, you realize in life, if you want to deceive someone, you can't use the same shtick all the time. You know, tomorrow you have to come from a different angle. If every day the student comes to school and tries to deceive the teacher or the principal with the same shtick, it's going to peter out pretty fast. So what is kedila arvi v'sasot? What's the irvi v'sasot? As I said, we'll come back to the Rabbeinu Hanano and Rashi's pshat over yond. There is a piece from Rav Yonason Eifshitz, and Rav Yonason Eifshitz has another problem. He says Chazal tell us that through the shayfar, Olo Elokim b'sruah, Hashem b'kol shayfar. Now, if we examine that pasuk begs a certain question. Elokim, which is in the first day of that pasuk, is midas hadin. So, Olo Elokim b'sruah. So, what is the second half of the pasuk have Hashem b'kol shayfar would be the sarachim. So, the Medrash tells us that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, he's Oymed B'din on Rosh Hashanah, and we wish to invoke the Midas HaRachamim, it's through the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shayfar we invoke the Midas HaRachamim. So we start off perhaps in Olo Lokim B'Sruah, that through the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shayfar as Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Rachamim comes from the mitzvah of Shayfar. But Rabbi Yonason Eifshitz says, what is Shayfar? Shayfar is Midas HaRachamim or Midas HaDin? Which one is it? It would seem in this Chazal that it's Midas HaRachamim. Now we find that Shayfar is in Midas HaDin. That's his contention. Where do we see this? When a person is put in Chayrim, they go to Shayfar. So that's Midas HaDin, that's not Midas HaRachamim. So he says, so how does it work? If it is Midas HaDin, how does it bring forth Midas HaRachamim? So Rav Yonason Eifshitz offers the following proposition. He says, how do you escape the kateger? How can we escape the kateger? He has a whole dossier that he's ready, he's well prepared for his case. But there's one thing, if you want to get rid of him, that you can do. And that is you go to court, you plead guilty, and you put yourself on the mercy of the judge. So now the prosecutor has nothing to say. The case is over. So now you cut him out. And that's all that's left is the judge and yourself. But you're no longer at the mercies of the prosecutor. You're undermined. So Rabbi Yonason Eifshitz says the shayfar is to be mekabel upon ourselves. The din of HaKadosh Baruch. And that's how we silence. We're not going to be silenced the Sultan. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom says, "You got on, I don't need you here. The facts have been established." So through accepting the mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon us, Rabbeinu Shalom says, that's how we come to invoke the Midas HaDin. The Shaila still remains, what is the function of the Tekiyas that goes together with the Brachos? It seems to be it's a mighty important function, because otherwise it just should have had the first 30 and let's go home. So in the world of Brisk, they classify the Tekiyas under the heading of Tefillah. It's a form of Tefillah. The pshat in that is the following. What is the function of the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah? What's their function? We'll maybe explore a little bit how we attempt through the tefillahs to reach that goal. But what's the function of the tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah? Ultimately, the function of the tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah is to invoke the Midas HaRachamim. That's the function of the tefillah in Rosh Hashanah. So in that regard, the tefillah and the shayfar are parallel. Both of them are designed to invoke the Midas HaRachamim. So therefore, that's why, as part and parcel of the tefillah, Chazal included the tekiyas. And maybe that's even the pshat in the Nusach Ashkenaz, Bechlau. You know, the major difference in Tkiyas between Nusach Svar and Nusach Ashkenaz is that in Nusach Svar they have the Tkiyas in the Silent Shmoneh Esrei. In Nusach Ashkenaz we don't have Tkiyas in the Silent Shmoneh Esrei. But the truth is, the mashmos, the poshut mashmos in the Gemara is like Nusach Ashkenaz. And this is no chiddush of mine, this is well known. Apparently, according to the Balamos, according to one pshat of one rishon, we could defend what the institution of the Arizal that he invoked, Al Pi Shas, to have Tkiyas in the Silent Shmoneh Esrei. What does the Gemara say? A very interesting story in the Gemara. Lamedalad on the base. Or it says the following. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel come litluye. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel got up to say Shmoneh Esrei. His omale the shamas. He had a shamas, so we said to a shamas. Ki nahir nolacha, when I give you the signal, or ki nahir nolacha, when I snort to you, tkali, blow the shofar for me. That means he was in the middle of his private Shmoneh Esrei and he wanted them to blow. Amalei Rava, so Rava told him, Lei Omru, that you have to blow. If you have a shofar, you blow during the brachas. Ela b'chavaria. Chavaria means, as Rashi says, chaburas tzibur. When there's a tzibur, Ava yochid b'vorachas kulo b'achar kach tokeh teshet tkiyas. The yochid finishes Shmoneh Esrei and then he has his tkiyas afterwards. Tanya nami yochid. Shomon Shomon ala Seda, while Seda Birchas, or Edward and Wurm Bechavaril. Ava Shalom Bechavaril, Shomon ala Seda, Shalom ala Seda, Shalom ala Seda, Brochas. So you don't have them on the Seda Bro, the Yochid doesn't have them. Chavaril is when they have their, this, we find this also. The Chavaril, if the Chazan is repeating in Rosh Hashanah, I mean on Rosh Chodesh, there's also, there's a Gemara about Chavaril. If you have to, if he, that he doesn't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei, whatever. It also has to do with the tefillas of the chilas of the chazaros hashatz of the chazan. So pashtus in the Gemara is that the kiyas anachayach for yochid in Shmoneh Esrei only for the rabbi. So the chora, what's the pshat? So the chora, because the tefillas of rabbi are the special schus. It's interesting, I just through some papers in the office this week, that which Bris came to the conclusion of, the Chassam Sofer also came to the same conclusion. So this wasn't only a Lithuanian piece of Torah, this was a Czechoslovakia, they had the same Torah too. That Chassam Sofer says that the real Tfilas of Petzibur is the Chazaros Hashatz. That's the real Tefillah B'Tzibah. Why they made each person daven, I think, because maybe you wouldn't be mechaven the right way, but the real Tefillah B'Tzibah, the real deal, is the Chazaros Hashatz. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes. So it could be that's the pshat. In other words, ultimately, at the highest level of Kel Kaber Lo Yimos, the Rabbeinu Shalom will accept the Tfilas HaRabim. So, that's meduktik really in the Rambam too. That the real Tfilas HaRabim is the Chazaros HaShatz, not the Silent Shmoneh Esrei. So, Avela, that could be, that's the reason, Dafka, that we have the Tkiyas there. Because the greatest possibility, the greatest schus for Midas HaRachamim is in Tfilas HaTzibur. So therefore, combined with Tfilas HaTzibur, we put the Tkiyas. So there, where, in other words, to make the strongest appeal, as it were, for the Midas HaRachim. Whereas the Yochid is b'chal not guaranteed that Davis is going to listen to his Tfilas HaRachim. So Amela, the Shofar is really out of place there. Who says it's going to help? Whereas in Tfilas HaRabim, which is inherent, the odds on, it's going to be Mekubal Barachamim, that's the place to have covered the Tkiyas. That might be the rationale.
You didn't say that the Tfilas Chazar Sashat and Rosh Hashanah is stronger than the rest of the year. I mean, Gemara says that if you don't see even a bucket, so we see that there's something different about the Chazaras HaShas, possibly about the Shom and the Hebrew. Anyway, so even if you don't say for the rest of your Chazaras HaShas is stronger,
I don't know, I'm not sure. I hear your question. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. Some Sefer really builds it. The Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah talks about Chazaras HaShas in general. The last piece of the Gemara is not really Dafka focused. That's why I'm not sure. Al Kalponim. So that's the Inyan of the Tekiyas. The Inyan of the Tekiyas is to be Ma'ar Amidus Arachim. That's their connection with the Tefillah. Now we have also, we have an additional 40 Kailas that round up at the end of the Davening. Sort of from nowhere almost. I don't know when they started them. No idea. So what we find, and the sources tell us, that this is associated with a Medrash. The Medrash states that the Sisra was a general, discussed in the Novi and Shaftim, and it came to wage war against Klal Yisrael in the Galil. And Barak ben Avinoam stood on the top of Har Tabor. We can still see Har Tabor, this dark black mountain standing up in the middle, you know, of the Galil, whatever. You can still see Har Tabor. And he stayed up on Har Tabor with 10,000 men. And when Barak approached the Nevadim, he swooped down on him. And it says he had tremendous Yad HaDishmaya, and he destroyed the army of Sisra. Sisra ran for his life, and Yoel took him in. And then Yoel got him sleepy with food and wine, and then she killed him. Took the tent peg and drove it through his skull. That's the story of Sisra. Not a very nice person, a very evil person. His mother, when he didn't come back from battle, cried 100 cries. Now, she happens to be, she was a very evil woman in her own right. How do we know that? Because how did her neighbors come to console her, it says in Shoftim, when her son didn't come back from battle at the time, the hour that she expected? Imagine someone went to tell this to your mother. Oh, don't worry about your Mark. You know, he's rather busy now. He's busy abusing women. He doesn't have time to come home, you know. That's what you go tell someone's mother, you know. You know, if one soldier wants to tell it to another, that's a holiday song in this world, you know. But to go tell it to a guy's mother, that tells you what she was about. So she was a very evil woman in her own right. That being the case, so what are we concerned with her 100 cries? What shaykhus is it ever Rosh Hashanah? I think the pshat is that what did she cry? She cried because she was afflicted by the Midas HaDin. But she cried 100 times. So in effect, what we see from there is that the Midas HaDin is worth crying for 100 times. So we also cry out about the Midas HaDin. Our crying is with the Shofar. We appeal to the Rabbeinu Shalai Lam to bring forth the Midas HaRachamim. But it's worth crying 100 times if we feel that we're faced with the Midas HaDin. I think that that's the message that we take from the mother of Sisra. Now, to bear out the fact that the tekiyas are a chelik of the tefillah, the tekiyas that go after Shmon Esrei, when do we blow them? At what point in the tefillah? Before Tiskava. What do we blow them before Tiskava or not after the Kaddish? Because it's obvious that we want the Tiskava to go on the tekiyas too. So it's quite evident that we view the tekiyas as a chelik of the tefillah, and therefore we have to say the skabbat slos of the rus and the chol beis yisrael, that the Rabbeinu Shalom should accept all our bakoshes. The shofar is part of that bakosha. That's what's inherent in the fact that we say it right before the skabbat. Now, what exactly you have to blow on Rosh Hashanah? This is very, very far from being clear. And the Rishonim first tell us, the Rif and those of that era, that how did they blow? They blew the first 30, apparently the way we blow the first 30. three tashrats, three tashat, three tarats. Yeah, that they did. But how did they blow the kodesh during the chazaras hashatz? So we have at least three different approaches that we find in the Rishonim. In the Rif's era, the way they used to blow is they blew it malchias, they blew tashrat, at zechoinus they blew tashat, and at shofaris they blew tarat. One line of each. So the Rishonim and the Ran among them raised the question that if we're machmor like Rav Avuh, that we combine all the different types, so we blow all the different types of tekiyas, because the reality is we only need nine. We need a tekiya, a trua, and a tekiya, repeated three times. Our problem is we don't know what the trua is, so we have three different versions of it, so we come to 30. So why then when it comes to chazaras hashatz, do we suddenly have tashrat one line, tashat a line, tarat a line? So the Rif gives an answer which really begs a further question. He says, no, they don't want to be so machmer because of tichar et zibur. So the Ran says, we did the mitzvah, we didn't do the mitzvah. What's the pshat? So there are those that look at the fact, the institution of that we do tashrat, tashat, tarat, what we do was not a deraisadika requirement. There are those who shine them that learn that midirai someone is yaitzei with any form. Three lines is all you need. Three lines of tashrat, three lines of tashat, three lines of tarat, and maybe even mix, you know, one line of each is also fine, you yaitzei. Yaitzei the key is in any of the ways. Except the problem was that it didn't look like a Jewish religion. You know, every shul had its own styled kiss. You know, you went down the block to the next shul, they blew differently. You went down the block to the third shul, they had another way to blow. So, there was no uniformity of practice. And this is what Rav Avuh came to do away with. There should be uniform practices. It's not a way to run a religion that every shul does its thing. So, they say, the Ran says, so when it came to the chazaras hashatz, they wanted to underscore, you were yaitzei ready, everybody did the mitzvah the same way, to be yaitzei the mitzvah. So now we went back to basics. Basics are that the yaitzei in all the ways. So how are we going to demonstrate what the truth is? So we made one line tashrat, the next line tashat, the next line tarat, the same. They're all the same. At the end of the day, chazaras hashatz ended, and we had the nine kailas together with chazaras hashatz, and that's it, finished. We yaitzei, we don't need more than that. That was the message that they wanted to send. That's one of the early versions. Then along came the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rabbeinu Tam didn't like this version. So the Rabbeinu Tam came along and he instituted Tashrat, one line of Tashrat for every place. And he held, once we're yaitzei the deraisa, we're not going to be machmir. Why do we have Tashat and Tarat? Because we're afraid that the Tkiya has to be next to the Shvarim, whatever the Shvarim is. So if the Shvarim is Shvarim, so the truer part is a hefzik between the latter Tkiya and the Shvarim. So therefore, we have a different line of Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya, so there's no hefzik. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that kvetch was enough by the deraisa dikadin that they kvetched so much of hefzik. But with Tkiya Shtarabonim, they didn't kvetch so much. So just do Tashrats, and you have everything. If you need Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya, you have it. You need Tkiya Truah Tkiya, you have it. If you need Shvarim Truah, you have it. So that's it. With one line, they got all three. So that's it. It came to the Rabbanon, they didn't quetch so much. But in the Raisa, they were more finicky. And eventually, somewhere along the way, they came to, because there are Rishonim that learned that this institution of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, is a requirement maker of the dinner. It's not just synagogue practices matter. It's a requirement. In other words, that if you hold that the din is tashat, you're not yotze with tashrat. And if you hold it's tashat, you're not yotze with tarat either. So there are three distinct possibilities which are mutually exclusive. And therefore, just in the same way that we have in the first 30 tekiyas, three lines of each, so we have to have in the next 30 tekiyas, also three lines of each. So all we need is really collectively, we need nine kailas. So we have three tashrats, three tashats, and three tarats. Each time gets a line. So that's where our practice eventually emerged. But this was probably the third go-around in the Rishonim, you know, and how to set up the tekiyos of Yom Ha'aron. Now, one of the things that remained that the Rishonim debated and affects us, in fact, halacha l'maisa, is how is it, how do you blow the Shvarim Torah? How do you blow Shvarim Torah? Now, let's first take what is established, what's clear, that it's not did. And that is, let's say I'm blowing a Shvarim. Forget Shvarim Torah. I'm blowing a Shvarim. So it has three sections. And let's say I make those three sections in more than one breath. I make a section, I take another breath, I blow another section, take a section, another breath, blow another section. What's the din? So there the halacha is, you're not yoytze. The whole shvarim has to be in one breath. The whole true has to be in one breath. That's nimnu v'gomru, no disagreement about that. Now what happens to the shvarim true? Is this supposed to be in one breath or in two breaths? So here we have a whole commotion. A whole commotion. It's got a tough kuf tzadi. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Avol gimel shvorim, utrua detashrat, Yesh omrim she'ein, listen to the Loshon very carefully, because it's very important. She'ein tzorech la'aseisam b'rishim achas. Not that you may not make them b'rishim achas, but you don't have to make them. You want to make them, you could make them b'rishim achas with one breath, but it's not requisite. So this is the way the Shulchan Aruch understood the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam. That in Shvarim Trua, you want to make it in the Shema Achas, you could, but you're not mechuyev to. Why you're not mechuyev to? Because the difference between the Shvarim and the Trua, the Shvarim is a groaning sound, and the Trua is a cry, is a sighing sound. And generally, people don't make them, they finish one, then they get a new breath, and they start in a new fashion, but they don't usually make them in one breath. So, if you want to, you could. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch learns in Rabbeinu Tam. It's just not requisite. However, all you're allowed to do is wait one breath's worth and then continue. But you can't wait more than that. That's shita number one. This is the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rambam shita. V'yesh Oimrim, and this is from the Gaonim, the Rosh of the Ramban, the second Shita, Shetzorach La'asoyisam Rishim Achas. Since this is, according to this particular Shvarim Trua, is the Trua, so just as you can't divide one Trua and a non-Kodesh into different breaths, you can't divide the Shvarim into different breaths, so the Shvarim Trua is now, that's the Trua, so you can't divide that either. So this is their view. And they hold that if you don't do it this way, you're not yaitzeh. So, what all it lend itself is that the Shulchan Aruch says, V'yorosh ma'am yaitzeh de kulo, or with kiyas de meyusha v'yaseh b'neshim ha'achas. The kiyas de meyusha v'yaseh b'neshim ha'achas. The kiyas de mu'umad yaseh b'beiz neshim ha'is. And what kiyas the ma'umad, you should make them a beis neshimas. Now, so we have two differences. The sort of Shulchan Aruch is the Shulchan Aruch is a pshar, is a compromise. Shulchan Aruch says, let's do it according to all days. Yotzi according to all days. Now it looks like, in the Shulchan Aruch's view, which is the main tekiyos? The main tekiyos is the first 30 or the middle 30? Now I believe this is a subject of a dispute between the Rosh and Masechet Sukkah and the Ramban and the Droshes on Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh in Sukkah, it talks about the piece about Nanuam, says that even though the Tkiyas Tum Umar are not Al Seder HaBrochas, nevertheless, they're still the Iker. That's the Iker Tkiyas. I presume that are the Iker Tkiyas, because he gave to the Mitzvah the Raisa with them, so that's the Iker. The Ramban writes the opposite, I believe, with the Drosh and Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban says that the Iker Tkiyas are the Tkiyas with the Brochas. Now, that's a Dvar Pella a little bit. Why should that be the case? I was Yoytir Mitzvah Deraisa with the first third. So what does he mean to eat? So what he means to say is that if I have a choice, I can have the Tkiyas, the first 30 Tkiyas, or I can have the Tkiyas together with the Brochas, but I can't have both. Which do I take? You have to take the Tkiyas with the Brochas. That's more important. And you'll be Yoytir Mitzvah, however you Yoytir the Mitzvah Deraisa, but that's more important, because the Brochas were made to be together with the Tkiyas. That's the way they were designed. That's the Takana. So I think that this statement that the Shulchan Aruch is making in our show, the Shulchan Aruch says that where should you make the Rishima Achas of the Tkiyas, the Mu'umud Yasa Bebez Neshimas. The first 30 Tkiyas, when you just made the Brocha, then you make Bebez Neshimas. But according to the Shita of the Shima Achas, you're not Yaitzin. So that means the one that he wants to be sure, according to the Shochetich, that you're going to be Yetzel L'chol HaDeyas, is the one that's Al Seder HaBrochas. So that seems to be consistent. Now, there were two sources for the halacha of the Shita of the Shima Achas, and the ones there, among them are three, but one of both the Rosh and the Ramban hold this way. So it could be that this din, though, that the Shulchan Aruch Sachro, that you should do the Shima Achas al Seder HaBrochas, is consistent with the Ramban, that the Ikar Tkiyas is together with the Seder HaBrochas. So there you should be Yaitzeh L'chol HaDeyas. Whereas the earlier Tkiyas, you'll be Yaitzeh, whatever you Yaitzeh, that's fine. You don't have to go out of it. That's what it looks like, because the Chofetz Chaim also writes the following. He says, however, this could be for a different reason. Why he wants that. Okay, let's leave that. So, but that might be one mahalach. Why that? But it seems in the Shulchan Aruch that that's the. But we'll see. There could be another mahalach in the Shulchan Aruch. So now the Ramah came along. So we have the following. So we have the Shulchan Aruch that the first 30 of it, two Neshimas, and the second 30 of it, a Shima Achas. But that's only in a place, the way the Chofetz Chaim learns, that's true in a place where on the Seder HaBrochos they just blew Tashrats. So Mameila, there he says, now, Bahaminaga Poshit, then the Ramah comes along. So the Machaber said, do half and half. Along came the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. The Ramah says, Haminaga Poshit, the Minikin cracker was they did everything b'shtei neshimas. No neshima achas, this is vein l'shamas. Now it's interesting, the Chofetz Chaim is enamored with the Hachro of the Machaber. He says, the Chayodom omitted this statement of the Ramah, that the Minig is to do everything with Beis Neshimas. And he incorporated the Mechaber. He says it makes a lot of sense to incorporate the Mechaber. It makes a lot of sense to incorporate the Mechaber. Because basically, according to the Mechaber, the people that hold B'Neshima, Beis Neshimas, hold you also Yotzi B'Neshima Achas. So if you blow koilus b'neshima achas, so according to him, pretty much a yaitz in the choladeis. You're pretty much yaitz in the choladeis. and Elamai, there are some that interpret the Rabbeinu Tam's view that the Shtei Neshimas is Ma'akav. So do that also. So why should we go away from the Achorah Mechavah, which basically the people that hold you have to do B'Neshima Achas, hold if you do B'Neshima Neshimas, you're definitely not Yoytze. So it would suggest itself that we certainly want to blow at least some of the keys B'Neshima Achas. Chofetz Chaim is rather enamored with the psak of the chayot of the mechaber. That's pretty much, I think, most common practice is that, generally speaking, we tend to do the first 30 kodesh b'neshima achas, since we have the full tashrat, tashat, taratz. So we have license really to do the first 30 tekiyas however we want. So it makes sense that when we make the bracha, that's when we do with the Shema Achas, because basically then we go yotzei b'chol hadayos. And later on we do b'beis neshimas. That's the general mahalach of what's usually done nowadays. Now, the Chofetz Chaim has a particular sheet based on the Tumas Hadeshin of what does it mean, the Shema Achas. So he says the Shema Achas doesn't mean that you go directly from the Shvarim into the Truah, but there's a slight pause, less than a breath's worth, in between them. But there is a slight break, and then you continue. But they're broke, it's two parts. The Chazon Ish, Zechon of Rocha, said no. The Shema Achas means you go straight from the Shvarim into the Truah without any stop. There's no break in between them. That's the way he interpreted the Shema Achas. Oh, here in the Beis HaKnesses, we do both. In the first 30 Koilas, we do the Shema Achas like the Chofetz Chaim. The middle, we do Beis Neshimas. The last 40, so there we do the, if you'll watch, the Rekema does not make, there's no break in between the Shvarim and the Truah. Here he does the Chazon Ish. This few years we're doing the Chazon Ish, Shvarim, Truah. And we're doing the Shvarims according to the brisket Shvarims, not the straight ones. So we try, in fact, to be yotzei all the shittas here. So that's the style of the shofar that we have. Rambam writes, the Emes, as the Gemara says, we don't have to give time for the mitzvah. So, Rachman Omer, that's enough. The Rambam says, nevertheless, Remez Yesh Bedova. The Shofar is an alarm clock, but a different type of alarm clock. He says, the problem is that we're asleep with our eyes open, not with our eyes closed. The task of the human being is a very difficult one in this world. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam did not institute an extreme asceticism in this world. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks of us to live in this world, to live the life of this world. And consequently, the life becomes very compelling. And we get caught up in life. And sometimes we need the alarm clock to tell us, you know, there's something beyond the day-to-day. larger things that we have to see. So the shofar is the wake up called Uru Yishena Mishinasa. To tune in that there are larger issues in life than the day-to-day struggles of existence. So that's the Indian of the shofar according to the Rambam. The Indian of the shofar is to gain our attention. To gain our attention that it's time to do tshuva. We need to set our goals, our sights higher than we've set them until now. And that's the other Ramazan. They go in and trace 10 different aspects of Ramazan in the Kikiya Shaifa. The simplest and perhaps the most important is we have Malchi as a Chaimus and Shaifas. The reality is that Malchi is a Chaimus and Shaifas, all Malchis. It's just different aspects of Malchi, but all Malchi. The first bracha, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Who was in charge? The Rabbeinu Shalel was in charge. Zichreinus is Melech v'mishpat yamid aretz. The Rabbeinu Shalel holds everyone accountable. So Zichreinus is also Balchitz. Its Shafris is Matan Torah. Aton Eglesa Maran Kodeh. The Rabbeinu Shalel's revelation to this world. So all of them, and what did we see at Har Sinai? V'yadata hayom v'ashevoysa alo'avecho ki Hashem hu alo'kim v'shamayim v'mal v'l'oretz v'tocha se'inayit. They perceived that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the one single force in the world above and in this world, at Har Sinai. When we take out the Torah on Shabbos, what do we say? Shema Yisrael Hashem alo'kinu Hashem v'echon. Why? And he says, Shema Yisrael. It comes from Masechta Sofer, Rabbi Yisrael. This is not, you know, some latter day minute that we dreamed up. Why do we say Shema Yisrael? Because Matan Torah is Kabbalah Satorah, is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. In Matan Torah we had Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the Kriyas Torah is, in a certain regard, in a certain measure, a reenactment of Matan Torah. Why do we stand the minute to stand by Kriyas Torah? For what reason? To reenact Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael stood. So the reading of the Torah is a reenactment in some small measure of Kabbalah Satorah. It's Kabbalah Satorah, but it's Kabbalah Salah Shemayim. So we take out the Torah, but as the Chazan proclaims, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ato Neglesa Ba'anan Kvedecha. The shofar is truas melech. The shofar is the recognition of the coming of the king. That's why the symbol of Har Sinai is the shofar. Right? The psukim of shofar from the Torah, principally center around Har Sinai. Like we heard the kol shofar, or kol shofar holeich b'chazek. There was a kol shofar. Why? Because it's the siman of the coming of the Shekhinah. The kol shofar. So Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. It's the sign that the Shekhinah is present. That's the role of shofar. So on one hand, the Rambam says it's a call to tshuva, and on the other hand, it's Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. The recognition of the coming of the Shekhinah. And the reality is, they're really two sides of the same thing. So I have a very simple question to ask Rabbi Yisrael. A very simple question. In the Siddur it says there are Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. So I didn't make up the phrase Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, right? I'm not the author of that phrase. I can't take credit for it. Predates me by a few. So I say there are only 8 days of tshuva, no 10 days of tshuva. The word tshuva is mentioned in Rosh Hashanah, yeah, one place. When we say Avinu Malkeinu Achzareinu v'shuva shleimu v'fanecha, that's the beginning and end. And in Musaf, tshuva tefillah tzokam avir nesroya gzera. Finished. Is any tshuva with the tshuva Rosh Hashanah? There's a video on Rosh Hashanah. Where's the tshuva? Where's the whole process of tshuva? Yeah? Yom HaKippurim, yes, al chetz. Kabbalah Salah Osid. Charata, it's all in the tefillahs of Yom HaKippur. That's a day of tshuva. Oh, but where's tshuva in the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? It's banished. If anything to the contrary, we're told that we're not supposed to have vidui on Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. And if the judge is in a mood of midas HaDin, then it's not good to be mizvada. So where's the service made true? So I believe the answer, Rabbi Isai, is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. And I can't believe that the founder of Chatzkel Levenstein Zatzal says this also. But I didn't take it from him, but I did find that he says it as well. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is one thing. We could eliminate every chet if we were able to be clear-headed about one thing. If we understood fully the implication of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we would never do a chet. It would be impossible. The whole reason that we do a chet is nichus abar ruach shtus. We don't see the Rabbeinu Shalom clearly. Not seeing the Rabbeinu Shalom clearly, we could do chaton. If we see the Rabbeinu Shalom clearly, it's the end of all chaton. We don't have to get involved in all the nitty gritty. You know, if you destroy the power station, so that's it. Nobody has light. You don't have to chop down every single wire that goes from the power station to every house in town. Just take out the power station and that's it, and all over it's done. The yisoid of the Yetzer Hara is that we're not makir the Rabbeinu Shalom. If we are makir the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's it. The power goes out from it. It's all over. So that's the true of Rosh Hashanah. And that's what Rosh Hashanah really is summarized in one word. Melech. HaMelech. Malchus. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's it. All the piyutim. Melech, 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 Melech. Non-stop Melech. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch. That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. That's the true of Rosh Hashanah. Tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is through the Malchus. So therefore, the truth is that the Truas Melech, which says that we'll be Mekabel Amorcha Shamayim, and the Rambam's Uru Yishenu Mishinas, are one and the same. From that standpoint. Because if we came to Malchus, we would fulfill Uru Yishenu Mishinas without any problem. It would all fit in place. And one fell swoop, all issues would be resolved. The tefillahs and tekiahs dovetail. Through the malchus, we come to the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. And I sometimes think that's in the Avinu Malkeinu, it's all in the first two lines of Rosh Hashanah. Avinu Malkeinu chatonu lefanecha. What's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? Avinu Malkeinu elonu melech elohot. That's the whole story of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yisrael, good yoach, see you, see you, see you, Be'ez Hashem, we'll have a share next week.
Title? Next week.